Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Lord God Almighty. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 431. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
Whoa, whoa. I just died in your arms tonight. That's pretty good.
Thanks, man. You don't like the 80s.
No, I like some things from the 80s.
Like Trash Like That is good.
Yes.
It's aged so well.
He goes, oh, whoa.
That's not even words. It's just, oh. Oh, oh, oh. He's like, I got this. He does a lot of coke. He's like, oh, whoa.
Like this. One finger up to his ear.
In the booth.
Yeah. How's it going, gentlemen?
Very well.
Good. Yeah.
We discussed all the goings on the pre-show.
Yep. We're in post-DEI Super Bowl halftime show.
Yes.
Or non-DEI. I don't know what it is anymore.
They got rid of trigger warnings on Disney Plus. And yeah.
Damn.
It's good now. Disney Plus
is good. So it's good now.
Yeah.
It's the Gulf of America now, bros.
That's right.
Yeah.
I had to go on Google to see if that was legit.
You know what? That whole thing is funny to me, though, because people are like, well, it's just what it says on Google. It's like, that's fucking what it is now.
That's what it is.
But if you don't call it Gulf of Mexico, it's misinformation.
It's just such fucking crazy shit, though, because it's like, did anyone tell the Gulf? You know what I mean? Like,
did anybody inform the Gulf of the name change?
Aren't you forgetting to ask consent? Like, fuck, man. I think it's a big rollout of stuff like what I was saying. Whether it's intentional or not, it's like, if you can change it on Google, that's what it is now.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't the case like 10 years ago even, right? But now it's like full, that's it.
Yeah.
But, that's it. That's it for this show.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the update.
Yeah. Well, it's just funny that all of these corporations are kowtowing. It's let's just call it Gulf of America, man. That's cool. It's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
That's what I mean. It's almost, I think it's kind of conspicuous to me, Jorge, beyond corporations, that it just happened. It's like, just because he said it, like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't buy it. Like, what else is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Like,
I just want to know
just trying to see if it works?
I just want to see what Musk has on Trump that he gets to hang around so much.
Yeah, he's got a big dick.
You think Musk does?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, why wouldn't he? He better have a big dick. With all the stuff he does, with his prosthetics. He's Krang, dude.
Yeah.
With his prosthetics?
Fuck yeah. Oh,
all of his fake skin, his fake human skin.
Yeah!
Oh, you mean like the big upper chest thing that he's got going
on? Yeah,
he's going to look really scary. Quattro. Like in 20 years, he's going to be so scary looking.
It is giddy. And then like, what did he say? Like within 20 years, the human race will be outnumbered by sentient humanoid androids.
I'm kind of into that.
Dude, it's like, it's so fucking cool that like the libertarians and the right wing have fully embraced like the transhuman agenda just for money. Like, what? They're like, you know what? He's fucking evil and we hate that and we're Christians, but he's got the bucks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand, because that's what he's for that shit.
Yeah.
Like, regardless, I don't like his politics, but he's like, he's like the supervillain guy into transhumanism. And it's just crazy. They're like, yeah, fuck it, let him in the Oval Office.
Yeah, get him in there with this shitty little kid.
I love that. I love that for us.
You know, if it wasn't so horrifying, it'd be really fun and entertaining to watch. But it's
every day you're just scared to, like, I'm at work and I open up like the homepage web browser. I'm like, I can't wait to see what fucking headline I'm about to going to populate my
browser. What sector in America is going to lose their jobs today?
Well, at least part of the thing, regardless of the stuff they're implementing, is just to do so much so quickly that the media cycle and people, they cannot possibly keep up.
Right.
They can't. It's just fucking overwhelming. You can't track. That happened in the first term, and now this is just like, this is full bore. We're like fucking less than a month.
Yeah.
Less than a fucking month into this. 12, 24, 36, 48. So we've only got like...
so many weeks.
45 times this.
You know what? I stand here with an open heart.
Yeah, there's listeners in like Cal who does our art. Shout out to Cal. Thank you, as always. Oh, dude. He did some amazing fucking work that he just sent us. By this time, you would have already heard the episode, hopefully, for the year in review.
Yeah.
This shit's fucking incredible.
Yeah, we'll do something with that.
Yeah, we have to.
We'll do something.
Sure. Like a poster or a game. What are they called? I was about to say a game board, but that's not what it's
called. A play mat.
I'll go with game board, dude. A play mat. That's something you jack off on.
What?
It is, though, huh? How much splooge is on these play mats?
It's for Magic the Gathering and like Pokemon, dude.
Oh. I thought it was like a big fucking mouse pad.
Well, they do have those.
There it is.
Yeah, I have mouse
pads. What are those called?
It's like for...
Those are mouse pads.
Yeah. And they have one that's like the size... It's
no longer a mouse pad.
It's for your keyboard pad and a mouse pad.
And how much splooge is on those?
Realistically. I guess it depends on how into your pornography you are.
Well, guess what else is on the right next to the keyboard's there. The screen's there.
Ah.
I mean, come on, man. Come on, dude. Come on. But yeah, it would be good for one of those. And anyway, Cal is just like in disbelief up there, you know, about the situation.
Do you think the red? Well, obviously. And
so is the German dude.
Yeah.
But go on.
Just collectively laughing at us, I think, probably.
Fuck yeah. And Germany's got its own problem. Well, I mean, it's, you know, what were you going to say?
Yeah, what were? What were I going to say? The new season of Severance is out.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Good segue.
Have you been watching it?
I have. And episode 4.
Damn.
Was a doozy.
It was a fucking doozy.
Everyone's talking about
it. Are you watching?
Nope. I'm still on my rewatch of season 1.
Okay. Yeah. So, this fourth episode is unbelievable.
Well, see, I think you like it more than I do, and I'm not surprised, because you know what it's beginning to remind me of a little bit?
Don't do it.
It starts with it doesn't start with it. It
starts with
it's
one
four,
thing.
It's four letters.
Lost.
It's fucking lost. They're being a little losty about it, which is not bad, depending where it goes. They're being a little losty. They're starting to build up the lore. They're traversing. They're opening up a bunch of threads that it's like, okay, what's with these duplicates and what's with this and this and this, and now you got like the story of the, I forget that it's the name of the episode,
Kier?
Which is the locate. Yeah, but not just Kier. Oh. But yeah. Like the location.
Yeah, the tallest.
Well, and also that's great. Like, this is the tallest water fountain, yeah. Waterfall in the world. Like,
so good.
No, it's not. Like,
it's just a waterfall.
It's just a waterfall.
Fantastic, dude.
But yeah, I'm glad it got there, because I liked the first three episodes.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, okay, fucking, you know, we're almost halfway through the season. But now that's an episode where so much gets revealed, where I'm like, fuck, we've got six more episodes to capitalize
on. To wrap this up.
To expand on, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Dude, yeah
what
yeah,
else
yeah,
you got
yeah.
going on?
I'm super stoked this season. I freaking love it. Love it. And the new one just dropped tonight.
Oh, that's true.
All right.
Where are you with your rewatch?
Episode 2, dude.
Oh, fuck.
That's going to take a while.
Because I was like, let's also rewatch Shogun and then also start Gangs of London. And I'm just like, I never watch shows. And now I start, I'm like, fuck, this is too much.
I by myself, restarted Mindhunter this week.
Oh,
Mother,
I almost did that.
Motherfucker. Yeah. Motherfucker. So we're at like, I'm at the point where it's like the third or fourth meeting with Ed Kemper. Mm-hmm. God damn, dude. God damn.
Some good shit.
It's...
almost as good as The Killer.
It's so good, they'll never renew it.
Yeah, it's so, they did so well that they're like, don't need to do any more.
Gosh. Well, I'm at the point where I hope they don't, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. It's been too long.
The momentum's lost, yeah.
Yeah, the momentum's lost. The actors are older. After The Killer, I'm worried about that guy in general. I want him to move away from Netflix. Like, fucking be cinematic again.
Yeah.
Mindhunter was more cinematic than The Killer, the fucking TV show.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. he's going to add, like, season 3 Mindhunter's got some lame-ass soundtrack, right?
Oh, God, dude. No, see, now I just said, you know, I sound like a hater, dude. But you still never watched The Killer, huh?
No.
Jorge. What do you mean? What's that fake? Why wouldn't you want to see that?
I
based, you know, on what you heard?
From you two.
Okay. I loved it. I saw it twice in one weekend.
Well, and then you...
And then I was like, okay, I'm done.
And Romulus. And then you never have. And then
I was like, okay. That's...
Romulus.
No. Yeah. I've seen Romulus way more than he's seen The Killer.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's getting worse.
It's better, dude.
You're catching up. To my first viewing. No, I'm just kidding. It's better. How could it be better?
You're like, I'm noticing more.
Yeah. I'm noticing more flaws.
I'm noticing they fucking blocked the fucking airlock with the elevator.
It's more fascinating now.
Yeah, it's more impressively bad.
Man, I'm getting pulled into the tractor beam of that shit. Sorry.
You're being pulled into the asteroid belt.
Yeah. Mindhunter is good, though.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
New season of Gold Rush dropped. It's dropping.
This Jorge's gold show.
Woo! I told you guys about this last year, right?
Yeah, you did.
God damn, man. It's so fun, man. It's like your RuPaul. It's like your RuPaul's disgrace.
That's
disgrace?
RuPaul's
drag disgrace? Race?
Listen, man. This is a safe space. We respect. But that's Sophia's thing. And honestly, I watched like 15 seasons with her.
That's fucking great. Like,
RuPaul's dope, yeah.
No, it is dope. Yeah. The new one's on, but I've seen enough. I shouldn't say enough, because then that means I'm... No. But I've seen so much of it where I'm like, okay. Like, it'll be on, and I just don't give it much, because I've seen it. I've seen the fucking cactus dress. I've seen the fucking them talk about their butthole. Never mind. But yeah. What is it? Like, what's my trash TV show?
You probably don't have one.
I don't have one, dude. I do have one. You know what it is right now? Pop Culture Jeopardy on fucking Amazon.
It is pretty good. I just seen the highlights on TikTok and I was like, dude, these questions.
Woo! So it's like, you know, on Jeopardy when they have like the
pop like celebrity
culture. Yeah, or when they have like the movie category.
There's a lot. It's like all movies, all video games,
dude. Yeah. I'm watching that and Sophie's just like, you're smart. And it's like, this isn't smart. This is I memorized shit that's dumb that I cared about.
Yeah,
like, this is not smart.
Yeah,
any one of us could be on that show and making money. Yeah,
it would be fucking cool. And then like the whole thing, the ratio of people on the show, it's like, it's either fat women or gay dudes, right? And which one am I? You know what I mean?
You're a fat gay dude.
No, it's but there's a lot. There's a lot of that, unsurprisingly. What else we've been watching?
Stand down.
You're a fat gay dude. That's me.
Shit. Are we getting into like what we've been watching?
I mean, it's happening.
We're already doing it.
Let's do it. Okay. Here, I'll I did see a Companion in theaters. You know, I don't think it's even worthy really of an episode, a discussion. I feel like, well, one, the movie doesn't bring much to the discussion, you know.
It got such good reviews.
Yeah, and, you know, people are like, you know, female Terminator, and I'm like, oh.
Whoa.
You know, fucking just cool. You know, cool shit, and then there's a lot of CGI and not cool shit.
So it's a ripoff of Megan, dude.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, there's some great moments, and it's funny as heck in some parts, and pretty violent, but then a lot of CGI blood, which there's been a lot of CGI blood in, like, everything I've been
Shocker,
seeing lately.
Shocker, dude.
Yeah, what's new, right?
What are they doing? And it's, what's what? And then it's in horror movies. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I've seen this movie before. It's like a culmination of so many different things I've seen before that it didn't do anything to add to this conversation.
I am so sold on not doing that on the show now.
Yeah. You know, it's worth a watch, but I was really, I was expecting a lot more. This whole, like, you know, the marketing, producers, creators of Barbarian.
I'd rather do Unhinged than that. You know what I mean?
Have I got a surprise for you?
Shit. You didn't watch it?
What?
Oh, go on, I also saw last night an advanced screening of The Monkey. So yes, that did comes out next week.
Did you get your popcorn bucket, dude?
I did not get one. I didn't know there was one until people started posting about it. I wish I got one. But yeah, so you've read the story, right?
Yeah.
The Monkey. And you said, is it serious? Is the story serious?
Yeah, so it's kind of a haunted house-esque type deal where they find like an object. Yeah. And
so I'm curious how much of it is covered in, because this is a full blown comedy. Like, it is a very dark gallows humor, black comedy, like very black Oz Perkins style comedy.
Yeah. So it translates to that very, very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I wasn't sure. I could tell it, lots of moments probably lifted from the source because there's a lot of just voiceover narration. Theo James has a very distinct kind of gravitas to his voice, so he's
fine.
He fucking, yeah, he's a handsome dude. And I was like, I don't know, he sounds like that.
Woo!
I was like, fuck Divergent, like this is it for him, right? This is his moment.
He was in Divergent?
Yeah, that was like his big thing. Those
yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah. But no, he's gonna
diverge this dick.
he is good in this. And you know, he plays twins, and that's so he's got two parter kind of to it.
We're gonna make Theo James happen.
Is he gonna be a cannibal also, dude?
Like maybe, right? He's got a little Army Hammer going on.
God, I'm glad you picked that.
Yeah.
Up. Fuck yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Explain it to the autistic guy.
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Army Hammer is like supposedly a cannibal.
I did, but what's that have to do with Theo James?
He's handsome and he's got.
And he played a twin.
He played a twin.
Oh, the Winklevi.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
The Winklevoss. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I watched that whole House of Hammer thing. That shit is fucking
amazing. I was
going to
say.
It goes way deeper.
He'll be back.
I hope so.
Army Hammer?
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm all for all the fucked up shit his family was doing. Not really.
Cannibalism I'm okay with.
Yeah. of Hammer is some good ass.
It's the overt racism that I can't.
Yeah.
Assault.
And
yeah.
So I won't say more on The Monkey, but it's interesting. And I will say that Osgood Perkins did say, like, a year ago during Long Legs, like, my next movie is, like, a kid's movie. And I was like, oh, it's a kid's movie. He's like, but it's rated R. And I was like, okay. And I will say it feels like an R-rated kid's movie. It's really interesting. And it feels very unique to Oz Perkins. It's very much an Oz Perkins movie.
See, I hear you say that, and I am pissed.
Yeah,
it's an R-rated Goosebumps movie. Like, yeah,
and you will see it. You'll get it. That's all I'll say.
I know. That's you, dude. That's you. That's me. Like,
Does it
make you feel bad?
I was thinking that you might not like it, but you would also appreciate a lot of the Oz Perkins-ness of, like, the directing and stuff. The
quirkiness.
Yeah. Then this was from the last episode. I know we kind of skipped the movies we watched, but I did show Courtney Blue Velvet for the first time. I mean, she still likes Wild at Heart. That's probably her number one favorite right now. She hasn't seen all of his movies yet, but that was my first time watching since I was like 15. So it was like almost a fresh watch. And that's like one of my favorites again from Lynch. So I loved it. Hopper's insane in that. I forgot.
That was my entry point to Lynch.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to go on a big thing about it, but, and that's one of our listeners, Coop, when Lynch passed away a few weeks ago, God bless, dude. I haven't felt this way about a celebrity death since Aaliyah. You know what I mean? But,
no, damn.
No, but Coop in Colorado, good dude. He made a thing where he was trying to give like a entry to Lynch. And so if you want to like, and the way he did it was like the less weird stuff to the weirder.
Yeah.
But like he started out with The Straight Story and I forget what The Elephant Man. And then it's like, and then I'm like, I get what you're saying because they're not like surreal and all this stuff, but they're also like not like a representation really of of Lynch's style so much as this other stuff. So I would say if you're unfamiliar with Lynch, I think a great entry point personally is Blue Velvet. Because it's not as like non-linear as fucking Mulholland Drive and Lost Highway. Mm-hmm. It has like a linear sequence.
It's the most palatable, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it has a linear, and it gives you like a exposure to a lot of his obsessions and themes with a narrative. It's funny. It's like fucking the wild switches in tone. Like it gets it gets dark as fuck, like out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then switches again. And it's got a wonderful use of Roy Orbison.
Yeah. There's, and dude, some of the, a lot of it, like, it didn't never click for me when I first watched as a teenager. Like these kind of echoes of like, child abuse and stuff like that his character went through, and how the way he sees this woman and fucking, and then Dennis Hopper is like his mom and dad or something like that, kind of reflections of that. It's really interesting. There's a lot of interesting takes, kind of like Lost Highway. You kind of get these rabbit holes.
Yeah
It was good. I also watched I forgot that I always forget how to pronounce the director's name, so I won't even try, but the director of Possession. I watched half because
the Polish homie.
Yeah, the Polish homie. Yeah. I watched his debut film, The Third Part of the Night, and it's about this this Polish in Nazi occupied Poland, and his family gets slaughtered by Nazis, and
of course
it turns into this crazy like wormhole shit and really weird. Nothing makes any sense. Super heightened reality, surreal shit.
I love
it. And I was actually way too big. I had to turn it off. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I hear Nazis. I hear wormhole. I hear not make sense.
I mean,
when you see the posters, you're like, oh, man, this is crazy. And
say less at Nazis.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to I have to be completely sober to watch it, it turns out. Started Gangs of London. I always wanted to watch it. It was on Netflix. I started my Netflix back up recently. And that's Gareth Evans, who did the Raid movies. He did
a
show.
I confuse him and Gareth Edwards, too.
So it's good, and I wasn't sure, like, can he do a TV show, you know, rather instead of just movie format. He does a lot of just martial arts shit and cool side story, but now he's, you know, got a serial show. And, yeah, no, even in between all the action sequences, he holds tension and really good suspense with the characters, a lot of cool mobster shit. And I'm really digging that, and the choreography is obviously the highlight, and it's spectacular. And then I watched Final Destination 3 randomly. That's the only. It's the only one I've never seen. I've seen every single one in theaters growing up, but never 3. And I know a lot of people rank that in like their top 2 or 3 of the franchise. It's the most campy.
They get goofiest. Worse after that, I think.
Yeah. The first 3 are pretty much the best.
Well, and then like the self-titled return to it got a little better again, I think.
I think so. There's one that ended up being a prequel and shit. Yeah. I've seen them all. I like the simplicity of it. It's a good crowd film. I kind of got a little excited with the announcement of the new one.
Did you see the trailer?
Yeah, it was okay.
That's a pretty good trailer.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's crazy to see it in a very high definition, crispy kind of 4K lens. Like, I'm so used to them just feeling very, like, all the movies just feel 90s, you know? They just kind of feel that way. Feel kind of old and dated.
And it's love that they got that motherfucker by his septum, bro.
Oh,
because that's no more DEI, dude.
Oh, yeah. That's what you got out of it, yeah.
That's what I picked up.
And dude, then another movie, the third entry of the franchise. This was a guy at my work. He's the shopkeeper downstairs, and I just always buy breakfast and stuff. And he's always watching movies on like YouTube, like free films. And he just like, I'm watching this Amityville 3D.
Jesus.
And I was like, and he also watches a lot of Italian stuff, and I'm like, cool. I'll send you a link. I'll watch it, and I got nothing better to do at work, so I watched Amityville 3D, and I've only seen the very first movie in that shitty remake, and I've never really bothered to go out of my way to watch any of the other entries of Amityville horror films. And I don't know if you know this, there's like 75 of these movies.
There's a shitload.
Yeah, like there was like 1 year where like 8 came out in 1 year.
Oh, that I didn't
know. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. So there's, I think, I've seen lists that said 50 and one said 75.
Why? Like, what's that?
I don't know.
That's like the whim of someone with a lot of money who's just like got OCD. Like what happened?
It's bizarre. There's like 8 in the main franchise, then a remake, and then everything else was like Tubi. You know, fucking like
8 in a year.
Like it's like there's like 5 to 8 in like one of the years that came out. There's Amityville Cop, Amityville. There's something going on here, dude. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. So Amityville 3D was fun. It's super.
It's a slush.
It's point. Horrible, but you know, it's. I love the Friday the 13th 3D. You know, it's got a lot of cheesy shit flying in your face, and
maybe it's more hard on Collider than it is.
It's got an iconic.
It
poster.
Is, huh? Yeah, like all of a sudden, there's 8 Amityville movies. There's in one
75
year.
Of them.
What the fuck are you talking about?
There's people that have like done like watched every single one, and it's crazy. Yeah.
Idiots!
I don't think I'll ever do it. I'm curious about Amityville Cop, though. I want to watch that one.
Damn. Yeah, I want to
but
watch that.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was just like, I'll just watch whatever he's watching.
And I want to watch anything with cops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have scanners and then scanner cop. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah. And then last thing I
Amityville
watched.
Cop is from 2021. That's recent.
That fucks! Oh, he doesn't look like a good cop. There's this another movie called One Good Cop. Yeah, with Michael Keaton.
Yeah, there is.
Man. One good thing about cops.
One good thing about cops. Please don't suck that dick. Wait, never mind. That's not. Never mind.
Last movie I watched was kind of in preparation for tonight's recording in an interview with the director. People were like, oh, it was like Falling Down, your inspiration. He was like, actually, it was a little movie called Duel, Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg's directorial debut, I guess. His first full-length feature, but it wasn't in theaters initially. It was a TV film later in theaters. And I've never seen it. I've always wanted to. And I actually have a graphic novel of adaptation of it. And holy fuck, dude. Like, yeah. I didn't know Steven Spielberg can fuck like that, like right out the gate.
Yeah,
that movie was incredible. You can tell it is the blueprint for Jaws, and Dennis Weaver. As some people put on Letterboxd, it's Cuck versus Truck, and
ooh,
it's,
I like that.
Yeah, it's something else, man.
That's like me and Jorge. He's Truck, I'm Cuck. Mm.
True.
It's dude, the psychological tension and all this the shit, and that this driver that you never see his face, and
it's
just
fucking awesome,
dude. It's
he
so
goes
great.
To the bathroom, and my dad, God bless his soul, writhing in agony on the hexagram shaped storm at the top of Saturn. But wait a minute, it's a portal, you guys. Wow, look into
dude.
It.
Is this a sequel to Ad Astra?
Jesus Christ.
There's some crazy shit going on with that hexagram, okay, with that storm. Look it up. Look it up. It's on YouTube, like everything. RFK Jr. just got sworn in.
He just got confirmed, yeah.
What the fuck? Oh, he showed me Duel because, yeah. You know, he's a fucking film dork and all that. But yeah, I was a young, like probably 7 or 8.
This is a movie. Like, I think dads show their sons. At
it was
some
entertaining
point, right?
As yeah. Hell, dude. I've watched it a few times since. So you're absolutely right. Like,
yeah.
It's he has to rely on every trick he knows that he like grew up from his idols, is particularly Hitchcock.
Yeah, I'm seeing too, like this movie and what it influenced. I'm like, oh, this movie referenced this and that. Like even recently, Furiosa. There's a scene at the end where they're chasing. Fucking what's his name, Chris Hemsworth is chasing a car and she's driving backwards away from it, and he's just all tired out in the desert. I'm like, damn,
you know what, I didn't really think about it conceptually too, because we're talking, what is this, 74, around there?
Yeah.
Fucking dude, like it's actually kind of an experimental film for its time. In a what I mean by that is they didn't have like you had Psycho like in the early 60s, but it's like, no, put this in a rural area in vehicles the whole time. You know, and so even like the instinctual fear of these rural areas and traveling cross country and all that kind of stuff, like later on horror directors would exploit the rural area thing, right? But like Texas Chainsaw and fucking The Hills Have Eyes. But yeah, and he just uses movement the whole fucking time.
No exposition. There's no need to explain anything.
There's a voiceover, but it's used very well because he's by himself.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. Very few voiceovers. I know they did kind of stand out randomly, but I just love that there's no actual motivation for the antagonist, this truck. Yeah. It's just there, you know?
Yeah. It's like Jaws, like you said. Like, it's just it's a machine, and it wants to kill you.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I was literally blown away by it. I watched like half of it the next day again. I was really impressed.
Dude.
Yeah. So, big fan. And that's it for me.
Well, goddamn.
Well, goddamn.
How do I split these up? Well, fucking, I'll go through this real quick. Sophia really wanted to watch the Star Wars films in order because she'd never done it. And something was mentioned the other day, and I'm like, no, remember this happens in this? She's all, no, I get them mixed up. And I'm like, God damn, dude. Like, this has to stop.
Not to be a nerd, but like order, like chronological. Like,
chronological.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I wanted to do a rewatch of Rogue One, and she's like, yeah, I saw it once before, but I don't remember it, and I don't know what's what and when's. It's like, I can't imagine watching Rogue One. She saw it in the theater and didn't know. It's like, she didn't even fucking know what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck?
That's the whole point, right? Is having the context.
But I guess it could stand on its own, though, because it has kind of a beginning, middle, and end. And, yeah, totally. And it's like, you know, but then it has weird CGI Leia face, like, at the end.
Well, I found out Courtney's never seen a Star Wars movie. Our first movie date ever was Rogue One. And she's never seen a Star Wars movie. And she lied to me and was like, yeah, I've seen Star Wars. So it turned out.
She didn't want you to do this shit.
Turns out, but she was blown away by it, even though with zero context.
Yeah, so she loved Rogue One, and that's what kicked off, like, let's watch all of them. Like, I want to watch them from the beginning. I'm like, even episode one? Because that we had watched, like, a year ago, because I just wanted to see what trash it was still, and it was. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, we can do, like, the condensed version of that. So we, like, fast-forwarded through most of it. We got the lightsaber duel, which is just fucking incredible. Everything around the lightsaber duel is unbelievable trash. Mm-hmm. Like the ground battle with fucking Jar Jar and shit. Like, what am I looking at? It was like that when it came out.
Yeah.
And now 26 it's years worse. Later, it's fucking insane. Like, even the hue of the green CGI hills, it's like, why would you go with that color?
And those stupid gumballs.
The gumballs, the fucking, the blasts of the fucking guns shooting each other, like, and then the
pod racing.
This is pod racing. Anyway, we could go on and on about episode one, but then she had zero recollection of ever seeing episode two, Attack of the Clones, dude. She was fucking like mystified at how horrible the first half of that was with Anakin. She thought She's like, oh, so he's older now, so it won't be as bad. And I'm like, yeah, and they moved Jar Jar out, but watch. And it's like, it's just fucking incredible. And the second half, of course, has some cool stuff, but it's like...
The first half is so fucking slow, dude.
It's crazy, dude. And how it's executed. She's like, it looks like fucking Roger Rabbit. It looks like Toontown. Like, anyway... So, long story short, we went through all this stuff. Her ranking is Rogue One is, and this is great because this isn't the ranking of some dude who grew up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's tied to all this, tethered to this shit. Right? And she didn't put Empire as number one, which means she's wrong. Like, she's, but Rogue One was number one. Episode 4, Star Wars the Original, was her second favorite. Third place was Empire Strikes Back.
No, that's my ranking.
Well, it's not bad. I mean, I'm like, because I know. I mean, I have the ranking.
You are the authority. True.
No, and then fourth, she liked Force Awakens. She liked Force Awakens. Oh,
got to break up with her.
Well, it's just, dude, Force Awakens, I mean, fucking, it's Romulus, dude. You know? Okay, Star Wars Romulus. No, and then... No, it had such promise, though. It did when it happened. And then they didn't develop any of that shit. Like, where that ends up... Anyway, we'll get there. And then Return of the Jedi is next. And then she liked The Last Jedi.
Huh.
And then she liked Revenge of the Sith. And then, like, Rise of Skywalker... And dead last was Attack of the Clones and fucking Phantom Menace.
Interesting. I think that makes sense with someone who's fairly, you know, newer to the series or hasn't, you know, really watched them as much, you know, grew up with them.
Well, and she totally understood by the end of it. She's like, this is the last one? I'm like, yeah. And it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
And then she's like, what happened? You know, so like we're going into the context, but, and she agrees as a kind of outsider to it. Rise of Skywalker, like the prequels, the execution's off, but some of the major story beats are fine. It's like, you know, he goes over here with Padme and they fall in love. And then they're having a clone army. Like, on paper, this is fine, the story. Like, but the whole, like, I don't like sand and anything, any of the fucking human interactions, all the green screen, all the fucking shit is just bad and bad. And there's little high points here and there. Rise of Skywalker is much more competently executed, but nothing in it makes sense. And all of it is forced. And all of it, except that little homie, dude. That little Babu Frick guy.
Yeah. Like, Babu, hey! Babu Frick is dope.
That's like fucking the best thing that came out of that fucking sequel trilogy.
He is good.
At the end, when he shows up again, I was like, that's fucking good they put him there. I was reading. Spielberg watched it, and he's like, what happened to the little dude?
The little homie.
And then to J.J. Abrams. And J.J. Abrams is like, we need to like put him in there.
Yeah.
And he put him, because Spielberg fucking knows, dude. Yeah. He's like, you need to put that fucking guy in there. Because people are going to hate this shit.
Yeah. Him and Cameron, dude, if they say a thing,
yeah,
you best do
it. Well, except when it comes to Emilia Perez.
You know? Well, that, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, okay.
Same thing with Alita.
Yeah. Ooh, that shit was good.
It was good.
That shit was fucking, that surprised both of us.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't because of Robert Rodriguez that it was
good. Yeah, I know, right? If James Cameron had no part in it, it would be fucking... We wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, he listened to Daddy.
Yeah.
He's all, you've used a lot of CGI. I'm going to tell you how to do it good.
Yeah.
What? First step, make the whole thing CGI.
We told you, like, when we went to go watch it, there was a pre-show with James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez, like, yeah, interviewed. Yeah. It wasn't, like, anything special, but you could literally tell, like, Robert Rodriguez was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We did that. We did that. We did that for you. We did that for you.
Yeah, that was fucking dope. Did a rewatch of The Curse, the entire fucking show.
Oh yeah, I never finished it, man. I'm like
fucking insane.
I got like two episodes into it, but goddamn, it's
great too. Like it shows like these people are horrible people, but they're like horrible like progressive people.
Yeah,
like the fake ones. And they won't like, it's like they'll ruin people's lives to make themselves look better, but they won't like say certain, like Nathan Fielder's character is doing a rap song out of nowhere, and it's like the cringiest shit ever. And every time he goes, my N word, because he would never say that word, but he's like ruining people's fucking lives, right? So he's got his priorities in order. But anyway, it's fucking great show. It's a great show. Mulholland Drive. I think, did I mention on the previous?
No, I don't think so, because we never talked about anything we watched.
Oh yeah, because we did the year in review thing. We saw that in a theater. That movie is fucking incredible in a theater. I had never seen it in a theater, and I mean, many regard it as David Lynch's best, and I could see why. I could see why before, but after just having like being focused on it and only it in a theater, especially when it gets to the Silencio scene and all that. Mm-hmm. It's extremely layered and immersive, and it gets really fucking... It's a singular experience, even for his movies.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia and I are going to go to the Frida this Sunday, Frida Theater, and see Fire Walk With Me, the Twin Peaks movie.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going there Saturday, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
What are you seeing?
That's the Valentine's Marathon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're rewatching Twin Peaks right now, which is fucking awesome. Can't wait to get to The Return, which is nuts.
Yeah.
So we got that... And I just lost my little list here. But there it is. A Different Man and The Apprentice. I watched both the Sebastian Stan movies from last year. Both of these movies are fucking... I would highly recommend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've watched that too. A Different Man also. Yeah.
You liked it?
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was... I wasn't expecting it to totally be weird. Like, kind of like indie jazz and very New York as fuck. And I didn't... I only associate Sebastian Stan... with Winter Soldier, because I didn't see Fresh. I haven't seen any other films with him.
Fresh was good.
So I don't know what he's like outside of this very, you know, specific role. Yeah. So I didn't know his acting chops, and I was like fucking super impressed.
Yeah, he's really like, I'm eager to see anything with him now after those two movies. And a lot of people, and understandably, The Apprentice, like it kind of alienated both sides. Like, you know, is it a pro-Trump movie? Is it an anti-Trump movie? It's the guy who directed Holy Spider, which is a fucking great film about an Iranian serial killer who believes he's killing prostitutes for Allah, based on a true story from 2 years ago. So this isn't just an overtly anti-Trump movie or something.
It's not some standard biopic.
Yeah. It's not a standard biopic, but it is absolutely scathing, an indictment of not just like fucking Trump, but... It's also extremely entertaining. Jeremy Strong also is fucking amazing in it.
Yeah.
As Roy Cohn, who's a real guy. He's an old guy. And that was fucking great. So, Both of those, I think A Different Man is on Max right now.
Yeah.
Body Double, we went and saw that. So Digital Gym here in San Diego is doing a film series called Fatally Yours, which is erotic thrillers.
Ooh.
So we saw Body Double, Sophia and I. We'd never seen this one. We'd watched a bunch of De Palma stuff not too long ago, but we hadn't seen that one. And I don't think it's De Palma's best movie, but it's probably like the quintessential De Palma movie, like I was mentioning to you earlier. It has all of his obsessions in one fucking movie. It's his most violent film. It's his horniest fucking movie. Voyeurism constantly. People watching people, watching people, watching people, and you're watching all of that.
Damn.
And it's just like, it's his Hollywood movie, like, because it's about the industry.
Mm.
And the main character looks like Bill Maher, which is unfortunate. But Melanie Griffith is super hot. Oh, the song fucking Relax, Don't Do It. The whole song and the video for that song is in the movie. So it gets like surreal in the middle of the movie. It's like peak 1984.
Damn. That sounds great in theaters for sure.
Yeah. It was, and it was a trip. They're showing Crash on Tuesday.
The the fucking one,
yeah,
not the racist one.
No, not the racist one. And it is sold out. And Sophia's never seen it.
God, I remember seeing that for the first time, like late night HBO, way the fuck back in the day. And
me too.
I was like, to see that. Yeah, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, that was when. That's when I started putting the pieces together of who Cronenberg was, because I had seen The Fly and I was like, "Oh, it's the same guy who did that." And I was like, "God damn,
what are they doing?
What's wrong with you?" And then Severance season 2 we talked about.
Oh yeah.
Sophia had never seen Transformers.
It's so weird because Courtney and I are gearing up for a marathon Transformers. Bam,
dude. I have not seen it in years, and at 20 years and some change later, that shit is fucking insane. Every time, 80% of the dialogue is yelled.
Yeah.
People are yelling at each other constantly, just inane stupidity.
Yeah.
And then, like, the fucking Bayhem, though, like, dude.
It's like, this is what we're missing right now, actually, in theaters. We need it. We need that spice.
He fucking is ridiculous with his fucking sequences.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really. And I know they get worse and worse. Like, we started Revenge of the Fallen. Like, it's fucking bad, dude. Like, it's bad. Anyway, and it's an experience. After the ride, she was curious. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she thought it was a terrible movie. But we saw Dog Man, which was nice. Jorge mentioned the lore is strange. It is.
It is very strange.
Yeah, they sew the head of a dog to this...
To a dead cop.
To a dead cop's body because his head works, the dog's head works, the cop's body works, and they do it.
They make a little homie.
And there's a cat, I forget his name, and he's dope. It was delightful.
Oh, yeah.
It's four toddlers, but like so is Minions.
It's a Captain Underpants guy. Or is it not? It looks like
it's
that.
It's the same genre.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm Still Here, which is it's a Brazilian film. It's up for Best Foreign Film, but also Best Picture.
I want to see it. I'm going in completely blind. I don't know anything about it.
True story is all you need. Well, it's a true story in Brazil in the early 70s during a fascist dictator. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
It's good. And that actress, like, fucking, I'm sorry, I don't know her name offhand, because
yeah.
I'm ethnocentric.
This was, like, the sleeper international hit of the
year. Yeah.
Everyone's talking about that and Sacred Fig.
Seed of the Sacred Fig and Flow. But incredible movie. Flight Risk.
Oh, just a little movie called
Just Flight a little Risk. Film.
Yeah. A little Mel Gibson movie. Dude, you know, look, Mel Gibson's is ridiculous and all that stuff. But I have been a defender of...
He can do no wrong.
Now he can do plenty of wrong. I have been a defender of Braveheart for obvious reasons and Apocalypto and fucking Hacksaw Ridge. But now it's over.
Yeah.
That movie is fucking trash. It makes Unhinged look like a fucking suspense masterpiece. Like, Mark Wahlberg is fucking hilarious. Topher Grace is one of the most fucking obnoxious characters and acting performances I've seen this decade in a theater. It's awful. You haven't seen it and all that, but...
It's weird that this is a blacklisted script, meaning it's like... unfilmable, but also like the most sought after script in Hollywood that no one dares to touch.
I could see if it was it blacklisted for like 20 years? Because that's what it feels like.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. Like the jokes are like 20 years old and they would have sucked then too. They're very obvious jokes, but yeah, I mean, it just does the decisions it makes. And also like Mel Gibson has no fucking flair or nothing. None of his talents are on display. The majority of the film takes place isolated in the plane in the air. Yeah. And I'm just watching it like, where's the ticking clock? Where's the sense of immersion? Yeah. Where's the sense of claustrophobia? It's all just a lot of close-ups of people's faces. None of that shit is there.
Every establishing shot is AI generated.
Is it?
At least that's what I heard a lot of the establishing shots.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Fuck.
And it's just fucking... And Mark Wahlberg, he is fucking trashed. And his character, he just continually talks about wanting to rape the people on the plane. Like, people on our Discord said it, they weren't wrong. And don't get me wrong, like, I want to watch it again because it is not just bad, it is absurdly bad. It's much worse than I thought it would be.
That's the type of bad movies we need, though.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's awful.
Worse than Con Air?
Oh, my... Dude. Not even close.
Mm.
Con Air is much fucking better and more competent than this fucking movie.
Wow.
And it has Leanne Rimes. How do I live without you?
That's what we need more of in Super Bowl halftime shows. Less DEI and more Leanne Rimes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That would really bring it home.
Yeah.
For grandma. Make her all hot and bothered with Leanne. Wait, why would Leanne Rimes do that? But
yeah, why would your grandma want to fuck Leanne Rimes?
There's a point in this film, Jorge, where the U.S. Marshal, who's trying to fly the plane because, you know, the guy who can fly the plane is dangerous and tied up. She's getting assistance from a guy on the radio, and he's Indian. He's from India. And it is the worst fucking, like, stereotype since fucking Apu on fucking The Simpsons. And he's, like, trying to go on a date with her. And says he'll help her if she'll go on a date with him. And she's like, okay, sure, I'll go on a date. And it's like, what the fuck am I watching? And then she's like, I see a wrecked... she's like, he's all, what do you see? What do you see in the ocean? And she's like, I see a wrecked ship. He's all, shiver me timbers. And dude, like, you guys gotta see it, man. You missed out. Missed out!
Well, I think actually today it's out on VOD or tomorrow.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking trash. And then we watched Tatanka, dude.
What?
Tatanka.
What's that?
Dancing with Wolves.
Ah.
Dude, hey. I was like, Sophia had never seen it. And I was like, wait a minute. You need to, Sophia, you need to see Dancing with Wolves. And I hadn't seen it since pre-2000. Okay. So I'm figuring I'm in for some dated ass thing. And it legendarily beat Goodfellas that year for Best Picture and Best Director. Mm. Right, so which pisses me off.
Yeah,
I'm watching this movie. That movie fucks. It still fucks, dude. And it's like, oh, it's white savior. No, it's not. Like, it is anti white savior.
It's not. It's no Green Book.
He goes, no. It's no. It's no. It's no Dune Part Two, dude. It's no Avatar, dude.
Yeah.
It's no Ferngully, dude. It's no Lawrence of Arabia, dude. No, but wait a minute, Last Samurai.
Yeah, that was one, right?
Dude, anyway, like, he did a fucking great job with that shit. I mean, no wonder he lost his mind and tried to do Waterworld and
Horizon.
The Postman and Horizon.
Part one.
Whatever was going on with that, like, they fucking struck gold on that one. And then we wanted to watch the competition that year, so we watched Goodfellas. Because she hadn't seen Goodfellas. She had not seen Goodfellas since the 1990s. And turns out Goodfellas is a very good film.
Yeah, turns out.
That's it.
All right.
Damn.
We'll be right back.
What'd you watch?
We talked about it. That's it.
Severance.
Yeah.
And the Gold Rush.
Hell
yeah.
Okay, the gold.
Get the gold. All right, we'll be right back.
How long was that? Metroid. Castlevania.
Zelda.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit of Zelda.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Well... We're back.
We're recording, dude?
We are recording. And can you say something about Patreon?
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast is where you can join the Patreon. and help us do the show. Mm-hmm. Thank you to all of our loyal Patreon members and anyone who's ever thought about being a Patreon
Anybody
member.
Anybody dumb enough.
Hey, man, I was going the other way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've got a rough 4 years coming. It's going to be fucked up. Yep. By the time this whole thing's over, we'll be almost done with the 2020s. This guy's going to take us into 20...
By the time,
the next decade!
By the time Trump is done with his presidential run, we may have our year in review out. We'll see.
Hey, dude, I just want to say, you know, I know you guys have some extreme views. This is not a political show. I want to make sure, you know, that, like, we respect all sides, including, like, you know, the white supremacist view, you know, like, you don't want to hurt their feelings. Yeah. They're very considerate people.
What we're trying to say is stand down.
He was serious.
I can't even really fucking say it, dude.
He's like, dude, don't. I got you, dude. I will pardon
the fuck out of you in 4 years.
And then I'll investigate the people.
Just chill.
That arrested you. Back to blue, but not really.
Back to blue, but if, you know, one of you guys gets killed, I don't know.
Fuck the blue. Now you're like forcing the left to back the blue. That's fucked up. Yeah. They cornered me.
They got us, dude.
Tough fuck, man.
They got us.
That's what I'm saying. They're switching sides, dude. You know? That's what they're doing. They're fucking around.
Yeah.
They planned this out.
They've code switched us into a corner.
It's all just like fucking an elaborate D&D game for them. They're just like, fuck, what's next?
Everyone's fighting over who's going to use the Punisher logo.
Exactly. Are they? Yeah, no. Oh. I'm like, are they? That's great. What?
All this infighting. They know it represents my cause, you know?
Well, we watched a little film from 2020 called Unhinged, directed by Derek Bort?
Who the fuck is that? I didn't even look him up.
Derek
Bort? Oh, I did. He did nothing.
This is the only one?
No, he did other stuff, but like it's nothing.
He did.
He's got another movie coming out, though, with, like, I think, drug cartels and
The Joneses, Bears. Dark Around the Stars, H8RZ, Our Nation, London Town, American Dreamer. Yeah. And Unhinged.
He's got another Russell Crowe vehicle coming out, though, with a grizzly bear.
Bear Country.
Oh, Bear Country.
Damn. I'm going to see that one.
Mark Manco Capic, owner of a club. What? Just a club.
What year did Unhinged come out?
2020.
The year of our Lord 2020. It was a good year for everybody.
Yeah, that was a great year. We learned a lot about ourselves. Some of us became alcoholics.
We all became experts on fucking, you know, infectious disease.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And transmission of bacteria, you know.
Well, viruses.
The pro-mask was an expert. Anti-mask was an expert. Pro-vaccine was an expert. Anti-vaccine was an expert. It was fucking great, man.
Yeah.
Good shit. And who's his star?
The one and only motherfucking Russell Crowe. At his beefiest.
He's almost as beefy as me.
Yeah, he's going through a Marlon Brando renaissance. He's trying to copy his trajectory, the ups and the downs, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, and he said that's his idol. He wants to copy, like, everything he's done. Like, he is obsessed with Marlon Brando.
Even, yeah, when he had a band many years ago, and one of the songs was, I Want to Be Just Like Marlon Brando.
Wait, are you fucking serious?
I'm dead serious. No, dude, like, because when LA Confidential came out, because, you know, I love Brando, dude. I was like... They've said this. They said it about Mickey Rourke when he was young. The new Brando.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy. Any guy that has that mixture of like vulnerability with like
aggression,
like both sides of the the polarity thing. Mm-hmm. It's dope.
Did you guys know that? Did you guys know that Russell Crowe played before he played the character in The Pope's Exorcist, Father Gabriel Amorth? He played Father Gabriel Amorth in WrestleMania 39.
No. I don't know what he's doing. See, he's fucking around.
he's got us.
And dude, that's fucking Hard on Collider shit right there, too. Like, no, he did not.
He did.
As of today, that wasn't like that. Oh,
it wasn't like that 2 years ago. But
in this timeline?
But right now?
It wasn't like that in my timeline yesterday. That's fucking... That makes no goddamn sense.
Snoop Dogg was there. Holy shit, man. I want to...
Okay, stop. Come on, man. Unhinged, dude.
Have we been edging you long enough here?
Dude, I've been wanting...
He's been gooning for...
He has been gooning,
for 4 years now.
Fuck, man.
Ready to talk about this.
Yeah. But I'm going to wait.
You're going to wait for what?
I'm going to let you finish.
Well, this is a weird one because I...
to I say the least.
I fucking hated watching this movie.
Well, yeah.
But you can't really criticize it.
Oh yes. Okay, sorry. Fuck, I gotta wait.
I just don't know. I don't know what to say. I'd rather just talk about it.
Well, fucking okay, fine.
Okay.
Look at the fucking poster. Look at him. Look at it, dude.
Yeah. Look at the tagline.
How long it had been? So it's 2021. When was the last time you saw a Russell Crowe starring role before this? It had been a while for me.
It had been a minute.
It's been a while. So this was one where I saw the fucking commercial, and we're in 2021. You said we're in first year. It's COVID hell.
This movie was the first thing to come out.
Yeah.
When the theaters opened up.
Yeah. When they reopened. And you went with Courtney and you saw three movies back to back.
Yeah, this, David Copperfield, and New Mutants.
Which is fucking...
Wow.
And you know what? Unhinged saved cinema. Theaters would not be open right now.
Oh, it was... Yeah, it made like $50 million or something. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, look, this movie... It's trash, okay? This movie is fucking... this is my opinion now, if I have to qualify that.
Yeah.
The voice you're hearing is voicing its own opinion.
Wow.
And so, the movie is fucking unbelievably, catered to the lowest common denominator, stupidity, exploitative type stuff. And by when I say that, I mean it in the literal... Not like, oh, it's exploitation cinema. Like, no, it's not that fucking cool, right? But it's Russell Crowe... As a fucking oaf, like heaving and sweaty.
Yeah.
And I saw the trailer and I was like, God damn, I want to watch that for a trash watch. And I just loved it. It reminded me immediately of what you said about Brando in his later years. I'm like, fuck, he said fuck it. Cause I didn't know Russell Crowe. And I'm not trying to be just a dick, but that's fucking Maximus. Like, he just, Max was like, fuck it, dude. I'm going to eat.
Like, I mean, tonight.
I already fucking, I have nothing to prove. I was already Maximus. Fuck off, dude.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty awesome.
Anyway, so I was at home and I'm staying up late and it was 1 a.m. And then I was like, Sophia's asleep. I was about to go to bed and then I see it's on VOD and I fucking was like, impulse. I'm like, fuck it. I'll rent this for 20 bucks. I want to watch. I want to get this shit. And immediately it starts out. In a rainy night, like tonight over here right now, it's raining, just like Unhinged. And the fucking ogre Russell Crowe, just the ungodly sight of Maximus, just fucking...
He's huge.
He's fucking massive.
I had subtitles on, and the first subtitle was brackets, and it said labored breathing. that's the first thing. He's
fucking accurate, he's dude. Way labored.
He's gigantic, man. He's not even. It's not even that he's like he's. It's like not that he's just put on some weight.
No,
he's like a cube of meat.
Self-loathing.
He's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. You see him on screen, and it's like he's there's no way he's gonna get out of this fucking car and do anything.
Well, yeah, he pulls up to a house, and then it's a fucking cold open, man. He gets two things out of the back seat after smoking a cigarette. And it's a big ass hammer,
And an expensive hammer too.
Yes, exactly. It's not subtle. It's not supposed to be, but it's like this is the goofiest shit ever. Immediately, I woke up. I'm like, oh, he's getting a hammer and a thing of gasoline, and he starts fucking hammering the door of this house, and then which is a fucking thing to do. And then the guy comes out, and it's his ex-wife or wife with a guy she's currently with. Right. We learn later. And the guy's like, what the fuck are you doing? Because, of course, if someone's hammering your door, you're obviously going to run to the front door and see what the issue is.
Yeah, you go and open it, like, calmly.
Yeah. And then he proceeds to hammer these fucking people to death and then light the house on fire. And that's when, like, I have not, like, woken up so quickly. Like, and I knew I was going to be up. I knew I was going to be awake for the duration. And the movie proceeds to get more and more ridiculous with each passing thing from there. I watched it twice that night, back to back.
Shut the fuck
not
fuck, up.
I'm not kidding you. I stayed up till dawn. And then I fucking, when Sophia, it was going into a Saturday. So she works on Saturday. She woke up. I'm like, I have a movie I have to watch with you when you get home tonight. Like, you have to see it.
And, yeah, so it's like, well, go ahead.
No, I'm good. That's the movie, again, it's just, and we got to get into specifics, like, oh, it's bad. Why is it bad? I mean, we'll get there, but this is one word to explain why it's bad. All you need to do is actually go through the plot, because at no point does anything that happens fucking make any sense. Yeah. Not really.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you.
Yeah. Well, the movie lives up to its title, you know.
It's unhinged.
Yeah, and you know, Russell Crowe, fucking, he sounds like he's got wooden teeth. The shit that comes out of his mouth in this, what, you know.
Why is that?
Suicide by cop is okay with me, you know, or
fucking, suicide by cop's okay with me. And it's like a southern accent.
He's got multiple accents.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of accents that slip out of actors in this movie.
Yeah.
Dr. Miller wants to change your Friday therapy appointment. She better bring her A game because you're going to fucking need it.
What a crazy line.
I love this movie. So it's legitimately fun, but I can never just defend it. You know, a coworker asked, like, what are you guys recording next? And Unhinged. And he's like, what? He was so confused. And I'm like, I can't explain it. You know, you just, you have to see it. And you'll know.
Because he knows about movies?
Yeah. You know, he's like, that movie's bad, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, but I mean, look, man, good, bad, these things are not, but how is it bad? You know, yeah. It's the how. It's fucking Russell Crowe. It's lumber heaving at you, dude.
He's like, it's Thanos, fucking bizarre. But like weird Thanos.
No, and you totally get that, like, he could, like, probably kill you, but it's just like,
yeah,
he might die right after.
Not a single cop is notified for half this movie.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
yeah. It's like this exists in a fucking nether zone where other people don't call cops.
Yeah, when we get to specifics, I guess we can start now. It's like any point in this movie, any of the characters could have stopped, called the police, and then just stood still.
Yeah.
And it would have solved 99% of this movie.
Yeah, well, right after that cold open, it goes to a fantastic credit sequence. It's this montage of people pissed off on roads.
Traffic
and in the city.
And in a time that nobody was fucking driving, by the way.
Yeah. So it's just exploiting all this pent-up fucking rage and, like,
they're, stuff. Like, highlighting, like, this is a problem in America, you know?
And then it's the name of the Unhinged. Like, I love that it's, like, fuck it, call the movie that. Because it's a popular internet word, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is, I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
He's crashing out, if you will.
So we got to introduce our not our victims, but who's going to be in his way?
Who's going to be hinged?
Who's going to who's going to cross his path? Yeah. And it's a fucking loser-ass mom who wakes up on a couch. Her son wakes her up to get to school.
Yeah.
And she's got a book, in case you're fucking retarded, that says how to help kids get through divorce next to her sleeping on the couch. So this is the first of many, many info dumps for the next 15 minutes. Everything that occurs over the next 15 minutes
all exposition.
Is all forced info dump.
Yeah.
And none of it is good. And then it turns out she's got two other straight-up losers living with her. Her brother
and his shitty girlfriend.
And neither of whom apparently work. And it's just like, what the fuck? How did they survive? Like, it's fucking crazy. And then, okay.
Yeah, so, it's a whole family of losers.
Yeah.
Like, I
know. I mean, I'm not big on the loser thing, but you're watching this and it's like, fucking, what is well,
the,
this?
The mom is so pathetically bad at being a mom that it
you're rooting for the wife killer.
I kind of want Russell Crowe to fucking get her.
Yeah. And I think, oh, that's intentional. It's like, okay, cool. That you accomplished that
maybe
part.
The kid will have a chance without his mom.
Well, and you know who that kid looks like?
What?
Well, he's looking up the kid.
Oh, no. That's not the kid.
That's definitely not the kid.
Gabriel Bateman?
Look at his face.
What does he look like?
That's Micah, dude.
I could see that. That's a good looking kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want. You can say that. I can't say that about you. Well. No, but it is a good looking kid. It damn good looking. That's a damn fine kid. Okay. Well, so
say Drake.
Say Drake. I hear you. Yeah, that was a good placement for that. Anyway, so this kid's fucking in the car with his mom, and then it turns out she crosses paths with the fucking dude.
Then
this is when the fire comes alive on the screen, right?
Mm.
Because she's honking her horn at him, and he's not going once the light is green.
Even though there's an open lane next to her.
Even though there's a fucking open lane.
She could have backed up and been well on her way within 5 seconds.
And then she speeds around him and fucking is all pissed off. And then it turns out they're both right next to her for the next light. We've all done it. We've all been on the other side of it. It's like, you're a fucking idiot because now we're both the same light.
Yeah.
But he comes up to her and he starts motioning Russell Crowe. With his fucking lockjaw. He's doing something with his jaw.
Yeah, he's like thrusting. He's
like thrusting it like to be like a bulldog. An overbite.
Yeah.
Like an underbite.
You want to be like English
like
bulldog.
Like Bart Simpson when he was in like, ooh, like, but. And then like, he says to roll the window down. And then the kid's like, she's like, roll it up, lock the door. And he's like, it's not working. I'm like, of course it's not working. Because that makes sense. Because
you had to introduce 5 minutes earlier that you have a shitty beater car. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he's like, we seem to have.
Oh, also one of my fucking favorite fucking things that they do post this scene. You keep talking about it, but like when he explains, he's like, oh, Mom, you don't have a passcode on your phone? It's so dangerous.
Yeah. More info dump.
What the fuck?
Not only does she not have a passcode on her phone. But when he gets her phone later, her bank account's open, which is like cool. The problem is in when AOL came out, they started signing you out of fucking online stuff after like 15 minutes. So just because he's got your phone doesn't mean he has access to your fucking bank account because it would sign you out.
True.
Like the fucking movie is insane. Like. Yeah. Like, nothing that happens can happen.
It's like, was the script written 30 years ago?
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? And you made it all about cell phones. It's like, so what the fuck are you doing? It's a major plot device. Yeah. Like, the whole, what happens is crucial that he has her phone for it to happen. Anyway, he fucking gets up there. He says, morning, I don't even get a courtesy tap. So, had either of you ever heard of a courtesy tap?
Yeah, but not in this context. Not in the context of driving ever.
He goes, I've never heard of it, but I get what he means.
Well, because the courtesy
tap. I just go beep.
Well, no, because like the actual courtesy tap is like when someone's giving you head, you give them a little tap so that you don't come in their mouth. Ooh. That's what the actual origin of courtesy tap comes from. That I'm telling you, this is it. It's not Damn. A fuck.
I thought I was just so tapping someone on the shoulder.
That goes with his character.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, the actual reference has nothing to do with driving.
A horn?
Yeah. It, I was already like, because if he's going to explain a courtesy tap to the kid, I'm like, oh, he's going to tell him about fucking blowjobs. That's cool. But no, he's talking about.
Maybe it's subliminal. They just wanted you to be thinking about blowjobs during this scene.
With Russell Crowe in the scene?
Damn. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
No, and so, and knowing that his wife, the infidelity, and later on he thinks he's like the lawyer of like, you've been fucking her? Or, you know, because that's his, like, that's his deal. Anyway, so he goes, morning, I don't even get a courtesy tap first. It sounds like this. He goes, beep, beep, beep. And he goes, it's light, is friendly, like you're trying to get somebody's attention, right? With his southern accent, and then like things like escalate from there, and she's like a total bitch to him.
Yeah.
And the thing that she doesn't know, of course, is like, dude, like this motherfucker just killed his wife, and he says we seem to have developed a fundamental disability to apologize to anyone for anything. and he's like fucking his jaws all locked up, and he's like, I don't ever think you've had a bad day in your life,
but you're about to
you're gonna fucking learn. So what would you do here, right? If you're a woman, call the cops right fucking now.
Call the cops.
Like
there are so many opportunities that she could, again, I've said it, anybody could solve this movie by calling the cops immediately. Like, yeah. We get to a scene, you know, post this shit where what's his name is in a restaurant. Russell Crowe's in a restaurant with another what's his name actor, another character actor.
Yeah.
And like any time in this like 40-minute fucking Westworld exchange, call the cops. The guy has 30, 40 minutes of just hanging out with this dude before. It's crazy.
No, well, no one would be engaging this conversation.
Right.
And once he gets on the phone with her and then he cusses, he's like, whoa.
It's like,
yeah, whoa, dude. He said the F word. Now it's whoa.
Now it's time.
Like, what the fuck is going on here? So after that, though, like after that one part, they end up at a gas station. And she tries to tell him that he's following her.
We get an info dump of, yeah, he's road raging.
Right. And so they got this hoodie dude who goes out there and he's like, I got you. And gets the fucking license plate. Which, again, the first fucking two things you would do is get the license plate.
Call the cops.
Like, and so then call the cops.
She's new to fucking life, right? But again, this is the woman who wakes up on the couch for some undisclosed drug addiction. No, and then, like, he fucking tells Russell Crowe, he's all, just chill, man, go your own way. And he's all, I got your license plate right here. And he points to his head. And then Russell Crowe hits him with the car.
Hell yeah.
And then the movie doesn't stop there. The movie is not just mean-spirited, it's absurd as fuck. Russell Crowe hits him with the truck, and then the guy's in the road and gets fucking slammed, like, dead by another car. Which is fucking hilarious. Right,
and
it's like Terminator
and
for retards.
What's funny is that trope gets used twice in this movie.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Yeah, well, it's the idea they have.
Yeah,
and then so like everything that occurs, like eventually he gets her phone, and so it's like instead of like fucking, she tries to reason with him. She tries to bargain with him. So he's like, "Give me a name, or else I'm gonna pick one at random." So she gives him a name
of a client.
Not good enough.
And he's like, not good enough. And also, it's like, why wouldn't you call the cops now? Like, she still hasn't called by this point. Yeah. She still hasn't called by this point. And it's like, well, I don't want him to hurt my son. It's like, he's not going to, like, reason with you. He's already fucking got your phone and telling you he's going to kill someone.
Yeah, I mean, look.
So it's not time to, like, fucking trust, like, that if you give him your ex-boss's name. Like, he'll be a man of his word.
Yeah, he'll go do that.
Yeah.
What's, like, I said this a lot about Speak No Evil, the original version. I go, this is like, nobody behaves in this manner, right?
This is beyond.
But this is so far beyond that thing that it's like, nobody acts like a human in this movie. No, everybody's acting like a fucking retarded automaton.
Well, like, she's surrounded by NPCs.
Yeah.
Like, there's a part where his truck's behind her, and they're gridlocked by other cars, and he's running into her, and she's trying to yell at someone, and it's like, oh, see how disconnected everyone is? They're looking at their phones. It's like, doesn't matter. He's running into the car. Other people would see and hear this happening. They're surrounded by other cars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm watching this and like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, they're not in a vacuum. They're literally surrounded by people.
Are the cars empty?
Like, there would happened? Be like four people calling 911 right there. You know?
Yeah, and it's like, well, then you'd have no movie. It's like, well, no, you just gotta make up better fucking events. Like, what the fuck? The aforementioned scene at the restaurant with the homie from Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there is some hilarious shit that goes down there. Cause like, so he's like, are you fucking her? Lawyers, they fuck you physically? financially, emotionally, you know? And I think this is Russell Crowe. Like, it has to be him.
That was, he went off script, right?
Yeah, is he going off? Are they letting him improvise?
Yeah.
And so then, like, fucking, can I get my phone back? And he smashes his phone, his head to the table. And then Hans, or King Hans, he loves this movie, too. He's like, I'm watching Unhinged again. I need more smash cup coffee face.
Yeah.
He smashes the fucking cup in his face. And then how does the restaurant respond? This is a restaurant full of people, and it's a big fat dude who just hit this guy. It's not like the Terminator.
Yeah.
So, like, no one calls the cops.
Everyone's like, I'm not fucking with this guy.
Yeah, and they watch, and there's people filming him because that's, like, the commentary, dude. Like, they're filming him. It's like someone would call the fucking cops.
Yeah. And it's from the beginning of this conversation, like, it already begins very... It begins very aggressive, right? Like, he sits down, doesn't know the fucking guy, says that, like, oh, I'm friends, and it's like, it goes south really quickly.
Yeah.
At that point, like, everybody would be calling the cops on this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going.
It just keeps going.
Well, that's what I mean. So, I admire it's, that's where it becomes to me, that's why, oh, it's a bad movie. Like, all you're saying, no, it's an absurd movie. Like, it's consistent. Like, it doesn't let up. Like, it keeps its...
Yeah.
Like, every decision made isn't just a bad one. It's an absurdly bad one. Like, it makes no fucking sense. Meanwhile, it's kind of competent with, like, when a car wreck happens, a fucking car wreck happens.
Oh, there's some practical car shit in this that's great.
Yeah, and I'm like, what?
There's, like, actual, like, sustained car chase scenes.
Yeah,
he's... I'm like, okay.
He's chasing her later, and it takes the time to show a lady putting on some eyeliner.
Oh, so good.
This poor lady... She gets fucking murdered. And they, but I love how they took the detail. They didn't introduce her or anything, but it's like, oh, she's putting on eyeliner, you know. So we, instead of him while just driving a car,
yeah,
we've connected it with a human being. Like, so if you're doing eyeliner in the car, watch out. You might just get fucking killed.
Yeah. You get split on a divider. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, she goes to the house and has her brother there. Bro, this scene is fucking insane.
He's offering him weed and shit.
He's offering him weed. Do you remember the brother Jorge has the knife?
Yeah.
And then he tells him to let go of his girlfriend. And he's like, I'm going to. And so he throws... he shoves the fucking girlfriend on the knife and, like, keeps doing it over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's supposed that he's, like... That supposes that he's holding that knife, like, incredibly... Strongly, right? In order to stab her.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, he didn't alter his... Yeah, absolutely. Like, he just keeps it there.
He just keeps holding it there.
Yeah, just drop the knife, right?
It's
yeah.
just fucking crazy.
Then he sets him on fire.
Then he sets him on fire.
Dude, it's so
and he's
good.
Like, ugh! Yeah. And then, right before that, though, when the brother sees the fucking news, and all the news bits are super hokey, of course.
Yeah.
They're showing the restaurant where the shit just happened, and he's like... Hey, babe, isn't that where they have that brisket? And it's like, dude, what the fuck?
What are you saying?
There's a lot of dialogue like that. It's almost every scene. That's why I can't quote the whole movie.
This is a movie that ends with defeating your antagonist with a Fortnite strategy.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's when it dawned on me. I'm like, this is Micah, dude.
This is Micah.
Yeah, because she's talking about Fortnite. I'm like... Fortnite. Oh yeah, that is Micah. It's fucking. I think this is a kid from Jurassic World too, right?
Is that who it is? Yeah, I think
I don't
so.
Know. I don't know. Who cares?
It's something interesting though. I do like the fact that it's not like just crossing paths with a dude on a bad day, but like hits his last day. Like he knows he's gonna die at the end of this day, whatever he does. So yeah,
he's dangerous because he doesn't care if he lives or dies.
Yeah. And I don't know, it just adds a little bit more. It's not like falling down or something. Like, he's already, like, right off the bat, he killed his wife, and he's going to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then, okay, so here's the next thing, though. The next tier of suspension of disbelief, like, just fucked. The cops show up while he's burning this fucking kid alive. or what? Is that how that happens? Oh, no. They show up right before he does.
Yeah.
Then he lights him on fire. And he goes, fuck you, in his Russell Crowe voice. Yeah. And then the cop shoots him.
And he escapes.
he escapes from the cop and gets shot. And he's
twice,
shot,
no less.
Twice. And he's shot the rest of the movie. And I get it. Like you just said, he knows he's going to die and all this stuff. But it's like, dude, like.
He's still shot.
He's still shot. And he's already fucking lumbering, dude. Like at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like this dude could fucking die any moment, yeah. right? With a fucking heart attack anyway. His cholesterol is like 250. Like, it's, yeah. You're fucking dead, dude. No, but. So he keeps going, and then I'm like, at least fucking show him, like, drinking or doing some drugs. And thank God they eventually show him, like, chomping down a bunch of pills.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, his face is while he's driving, like, his just hamminess. And, like, he's grabbing the steering wheel and, like, leaning over it and looks like fucking an ogre, dude. And he's just like, he makes literal noise. Yeah. He's all, and I'm like, God damn, like, he does not give a fuck. And they kept it. They're like, yeah, Russell, that take
worked.
That's the one. Like, yeah. Like Horace said, you got it. You got it. And then, dude, it ends up, it's not just him who's fucking super, like, superhuman. The kid and the mom. I fucking, like, dude, this last scene where there's that showdown in the house.
Which, again, don't go to the house. Well, don't go to the house.
Dude.
Don't go to the house.
And it's, again... It sounds like if we're talking about this, it's like, where does this take place? In a city, like in a city where people live, they're surrounded by people most of the time. Mm-hmm. And then this last part's in a residential area.
Yeah.
Like in the driveway. Like she fucking.
They do the Fortnite strat.
Yeah. Yeah. She does the Fortnite thing and flips this. Flip it. She flips his car because she's fucking. She's a good driver. And he gets out of the car and lays her the fuck out.
Multiple times.
Russell Crowe. At like 300 plus pounds, laying this woman the fuck out in her face and slamming her into a car. She's back up. She's back up a few seconds later. And it's just fucking the kids hiding inside. And then eventually this proceeds to a fucking a drag out fucking brawl where he lays the mom out again. He throws her into these walls. He kicks her full on in the chest when she's in a corner twice, throws her against the wall and lays her the fuck out again. And then he fucking like his arm goes straight into the kid's face. And I'm fucking laughing my ass off, dude, because it's like a cartoon version of my childhood, right? Like, it's like, dude, like, dude, when your dad hits you. You fucking, you're down, dude.
Yeah, this movie could have been so...
You cannot get back-armed by Russell Crowe and just keep on fucking going like that,
dude. This is the only time where you're just, like, applauding a child abuse on screen because it's so absurd.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's the point of the movie is to see this absurd, over-the-top shit.
It's so not mean-spirited because of its execution, you know? This could have been, like, so mean-spirited and awful to see on screen. This finale, because it's so brutal. But no, it's...
Because then it's full flight from reality just for a while, right? And I get that, but, like, it's elevated, sure. But there's a difference between elevated and, like, dude, she's John McClane. She's takes some severe punishment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And and I'm not saying she survives. She doesn't even... Dude, she doesn't even get knocked out.
Yeah, they don't even go to the hospital for themselves. They go to see the burnt-up brother.
Yeah, after the fight's done, like, she's got some minor scratches.
Yeah. Like, hey, I got some good news. Your uncle's alive.
He's going to be okay, other than the third-degree burns all over his body.
Yeah. The end.
Yeah.
It's going to be in horrific pain.
It's a flat 90 minutes, and I just, like, you know, I can't believe. If this wasn't Russell Crowe, like,
this is like,
I'm much less interested.
This is falling down for idiots.
This is falling down, like... For incels. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Wow.
Oh, no, but I mean, falling down, dude, is an incel too, right? Let's be serious. It's like that Travis Bickle type thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's kind of like... We had just watched The Dark Knight, and like I admitted that because we fucking talked about The Dark Knight over and over again. But you know how like the Joker's just like wreaking fucking havoc on everyone?
Yeah.
And killing people and all these things. It's like... I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, this is like, especially there's a point where he says, like, fucking, I want to kill your boss. I'm going to go kill your boss. So she shows up there, and, oh, turns out, like, he didn't go there. He went to the brother's house. And I'm like, oh, he fucking jokered you. he gave you the other thing. he Joker, and that's why I'm like, wait a minute. So someone was saying we need to do this like Batman Joker dynamic, but instead of the Joker, it's just some fucking old white dude who's been cheated on, completely disenfranchised and homicidal.
Yeah.
And instead of Batman, we'll make it a woman, and she'll be like a recent divorcee, and he'll just fucking wreak havoc in her life all day. You know, but dang. It's crazy, yeah. Dude.
No one could, honestly, I don't think there's another actor on Earth that could have done that role. Like, it was meant for him.
Well, who could do it, like, good?
I don't think anyone.
I think fucking, like, John Malkovich would make this shit terrifying.
It'd be a different car. I don't think I could picture
it. The thing is, it wouldn't matter, though, with that plot structure. Right, that sequence of events, like, there's no way that fucking make that shit make sense.
It's interesting that Russell Crowe's in all these movies that, like, this has gone straight to Redbox, but they don't. They come out in theaters.
That's true.
It's weird.
Including, like, the fucking, what is it?
The Exorcism.
The Exorcism.
And then,
Exorcism, yeah.
And then even the Pope's Exorcist to a degree, and then you got Land of Bad. You're like, dude, why are all these movies coming to theaters, man?
Yeah.
It's because of him.
Yeah, he's a bit of, like, there's a buffet for him with his late career masterpieces. Like, holy shit, man.
What do you think he's doing? Like, what do you think he's doing? Obviously,
he doesn't give a fuck.
What? He's looking for a challenge, I think, right?
Obviously, like, he doesn't need the work, right? Like, he doesn't need to be... Well, maybe he does.
He might. And it's still a paycheck.
Not that I'm like, oh, his choices are so questionable. Like, he shouldn't be doing... I kind of enjoy what he's doing in terms of, like, the stupidity of it.
Yes.
But do you think, like, as a seasoned actor who has, like... You know, done his best work. His best work is in his past, so to speak. What do you think this, like, how does he...
I think it's because he's a bit eccentric, I think, like a lot of actors. Like, you remember where, like, a few years back, many years back, where he, like, threw a phone at someone?
Yeah.
Like, when people...
The concierge.
When I hear that shit, other people are like, oh, that's... I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Like, that's... That's what I want from Russell Crowe. I want to hear that Maximus has fucking problems, and the guy. I want to hear that, like, he's a method actor. Yeah. He's actually fucking got problems in his violin.
Yeah. This movie was like super cathartic, you know.
That's what I'm saying. So I think there's a bit of that because he's, besides being an actor, like it's like finding an outlet for your bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. But like, dude, Island of Dr. Moreau, the Marlon Brando one. Yeah. You've seen that shit, Jorge?
Yeah.
Okay, dude. There's a fantastic documentary about it, like the making of it. And who's the girl from The Craft? She's in it.
Oh shit!
She's in Return to Oz too.
Firouza Balk.
Yeah, exactly. They interview her in it, and they say that, like, Brando shows up, and of course everything revolves around Brando. Everything he says goes.
Yeah.
They have the little midget guy, and he's like, this is the only guy who knows what we're doing in this movie. I want him next to me the whole time. And he's like, I want him to wear exactly what I'm wearing. And they're like, well, it's going to take like a couple days to make that. He's like, well, I'm not doing the scene until he's wearing exactly what I'm wearing. Yeah. Like, Brando's just having a fucking ball. He's not worried about making a good movie. He thinks it's a total joke by this point. Mm-hmm. Right? She goes up to him and says, hey, it's an honor to meet you. You're a huge inspiration. Did you want to rehearse some lines? And then she said it was so odd because he looked at her and just started laughing, and then she's like, what's going on? And he's like, this is a joke. Like, this whole thing is a joke. Like, there's no rehearsal. Like, this, you've got the wrong idea. Like, this is all a joke. Like, so
he's so self-aware.
Yeah, like, Brando has he's way past all that shit. And I think, like, you know, Russell Crowe, like he said, like, when I hear that shit, I think that's fucking awesome. And Russell Crowe thinks it's fucking awesome, and he's Russell Crowe, so he's like, yeah, dude. I mean, has he done Last Tango in Paris and Godfather and On the Waterfront and Streetcar Named Desire? No. But he's done L.A. Confidential and The Insider.
Gladiator.
Fucking Gladiator. And A Beautiful Mind.
Cinderella Man.
Like, what's enough? Cinderella Man.
Virtuosity.
Virtuosity? Fuck! We should do that movie.
Any day of the week, brother.
So I don't know. I think it's a bit of that, Jorge. I think he's just like, this is a fucking farce. Or he wants to, like,
get on that level. I guess I can see that. Either it's all a farce or none of it is, right? Like,
yeah.
His whole career. He's like, fuck it.
Well, and, you know how this goes with celebrity worship, which you're a big fan of. Like, when he dies, it's not going to be fucking, it's going to be all the other stuff we mentioned. It's not going to be fucking, and even this has a 6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Which is not bad considering.
Considering how fucking awful it is.
Yeah.
But it's on Netflix, and if you want to, like, watch some junk food shit that's a flat 90 minutes,
whew. It's fun. It's legitimately a fun movie.
I think it'll get you off. And you said you hated watching this.
I did.
Why? I wish
for everything we talked about.
I wish it kind of the movie itself isn't there, but like it's like just a few degrees off from being like cult status, you know. I think we're the only ones talking about the movie in that way. I don't think anyone else kind of sees it like that.
I think you're absolutely right, and that's kind of like it's too early.
Like Michael Bay's, Michael Bay's Ambulance is now like a cult movie
already,
and I'm like, this needs to be that too. If that could be a cult movie,
yeah, because this shit is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's fucking, it's bonkers, dude. Like what happens in this movie, and his performance is like insanely the decisions and choices he makes,
mm-hmm.
like are funny as hell, and also a lot of them very bad, and a lot of them are actually. It's like still, I don't want to say menacing, cause that, but yeah, you can kind of believe this guy will just fucking kill you.
Yeah, if they brought it back in theaters, I'm the first one buying tickets. You know, like to see it in theaters.
Oof, I'm sorry, Jorge.
Yeah, you should be,
dude. I thought you would love it.
Oh shit! Well, gentlemen.
So the next episodes, we'll be getting into some new King. 2025 stuff, right? Oh, a king pick.
Then we got a king pick. We got a Night Flyer. Yeah.
Ah.
Stephen King's Night Flyer.
Stephen King's The Night Flyer, selected by King Hans. And have you seen this one? You're Stephen King.
Yeah, I've seen Night Flyer.
How long has it been?
15 years, maybe 20.
I used to always see the VHS cover at Blockbuster, and it looked scary.
Oh, scary.
Looked very scary.
Yeah, I remember the cover, too. And then after that, we've got potentially either Hard Eyes and the monkey.
Yeah.
Or both. We shall see.
Yeah.
Hard Eyes.
Yeah, do you want to see that? Dude, we got to do it, man.
All right, I will do it.
Okay.
All right, well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 431. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Reed.
Later. Hey, Drake.
I don't know. Say Drake.
Say Drake. You gotta say Drake.
Yeah. Say Drake.
Say Drake.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.